As you think about your Christian life, what do you think are the biggest obstacles or biggest barriers to you as a Christian or for you living out your Christian life? You're aware, there might be different things you're struggling with right now. Anybody got any suggestions? It might not have to be you personally. It might have been something you've experienced in the past or you know somebody is struggling with that thing right now. That's awesome. Nobody's struggling. That's great. Nobody's got any challenges. That's fine. You might be a bit shy about that because it might sort of sound that you're, fessing up to something. But as I talk to people I talk to people quite often about their faith, I encounter some quite regular things. There are some people have doubts about the Bible. Can I trust the Bible? Or they have challenges with their own family. Maybe their own family really doesn't want them to be a Christian and puts obstacles in their path and is always sort of questioning, or maybe they just laugh at them. You know, they say, I'm going to church, and they go, yeah, whatever, you know, and joke about it all the time or try and make it difficult for them. Or maybe they are just dealing with some sort of real personal struggle themselves. It might be in some sort of addiction. It could be a drug addiction. It could be even things like gaming addictions. If this stuff exists now, and any of us who've got kids and teenagers growing up, we realize that this is just a reality that we've got to be aware of. And so, you know, there are a lot of obstacles. There are a lot of barriers that can get in the way. And even, you might say, the best and the brightest of Christians will still struggle with these things. You know, the Bible has that verse, doesn't it? It says, let him who thinks he stands be careful or take heed lest he fall. And what it's warning about is that sometimes we think, yeah, I'm great, you know. I've got everything sorted in my Christian life. And then, bang, suddenly something just trips us up or we fall into some sin and it causes many issues for us. And so this passage here, I want to focus on verses 11 to 14, where the Apostle Paul has, in what some say is the greatest letter ever written, a letter written to a bunch of people that he'd never met before, the church in Rome. And he said he wants to visit them because he wants to preach the gospel to them. And so he explains to them what he means by the gospel. And, of course, Romans is a book that theological geeks love, because it's got lots of really tricky theology and doctrines and ideas in it. But it's also a wonderful book of encouragement and practical instruction. And so in verse 11 he says, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And so the first thing that we see him telling them to do is to understand the time. So this is the first point that I want us to sort of to know about, to be aware. Okay, to be aware, to understand the forces. So I think today I might have three A's. What did I have last week? I had three W's last week. That's right. Thanks, Gene. See, I couldn't even remember myself. It's supposed to be a memory device. But today I've got three A's. Be aware, be awake, and be armed. Right? And so the first thing about persevering and succeeding in your life as a Christian is being aware, knowing, you know, like when you go onto a work site these days, have you seen it, you know, like I go to where my mum is and they're building a new rest home building, and they've got this massive whiteboard up with all of the stuff written on it, and it's all the hazards, and it'd be like, you'd have to spend an hour just reading it all, you know. But it's now they want people to be aware of what are all the hazards if you go onto this building site. So it's your own fault if something happens to you. And so the first thing he says, the Apostle Paul says, is for us as Christians, we need to understand the times. We need to be aware of what we are dealing with. And when he's talking about time, he's not saying, you know, 2017 AD or anything like that. He's talking about the era. He's talking about the period. He's talking about the sort of the culture and the currents that flow around us, and what are the forces and the influences that we as Kiwis living today in the 21st century, what are the things that we have to swim amongst? Because we're so immersed in them, we're not even aware of them, are we? And so when we speak them, then we become more aware of them. And I just listed off some here of things that I've read in books and listened to and aware of myself. And I think the first one that in terms of a challenge to your faith and my faith is what we might call multiculturalism. Now, before you freak out, I'm not trying to say we should all be monocultural and have one particular culture, but what I mean by multiculturalism is the fact that our society has changed quite dramatically and quite rapidly. And this was really brought home to me just at the end of our holiday. We chucked everything on the trailer and packed it up, and we started to drive home, and we realized by the time we'd packed everything up, it was about 1 or 2 o'clock, and we hadn't given the kids any food. So we drove through, and we went into Waiuku to buy pie, except for me, because I was driving. You know what happens when you try and eat a pie when you're driving. So we stopped on the main street in Waiuku, and as Mari went into the bakery, I looked across, and I said, oh, there's a beautiful old church. I looked at this beautiful old building with lots of pointy bits on it, and I thought, that's a beautiful old church. And then I read the sign, and I realized, wow, that's not a church. That's actually a Shinto shrine, okay? And I thought, I'd better find out about this. And it used to be a Wesleyan church, and it's been bought by some trust, and now it's been turned into a shrine, a Shinto shrine, where you can, the followers of the Shinto religion. And that was just like, that's a real stark reminder, isn't it, that once upon a time, Christians used to go into that building to worship the God of the Bible, but now people go in there to practice a totally different religion. And, you know, we see it here in this community, don't we? Down just up the road here is one of the largest gurdwaras in the Southern Hemisphere, of a Sikh religion. And we know that as you probably drove up Munaroo Road, you would have seen the people wearing the turbans, and so they practice a different faith, and they know nothing of the God of the Bible. Or if you live in a part of Auckland where you might notice lots of Muslims now popping up, and mosques and green domes and things like that, and lots of women covered in head to foot, and you become aware of this. Or if you go down Botany Howick, you know, and there's a huge Buddhist temple there, it's ginormous. I don't know if you've seen it, but that thing is massive. And even I was reminded of this when I went into the prison recently, and I went in there, and then I see a Muslim man, you know, a mullah walking into the prison as well to visit prisoners. And so, you know, we live in this is the culture, and this is the society and the world that has changed. It's very different from the culture that our parents would have grown up in. And for some people, that is a real challenge. They think, well, what do I believe? Does that mean that there's just many paths now to God, and the Muslims and the Sikhs and the Hindus and the Buddhists, and they're all going to go to heaven eventually, but they're all just going to go by a different path, and, you know, I don't have to be a Christian anymore? And we could say lots more about that. And then there's sort of the opposite, which is kind of like the atheism. That's another current, isn't it? You might have banged up against that, maybe in the workplace, or maybe somebody in your family, and they're like, they say to you, oh, you're a Christian. And they say to you, in the past they might have said to you, well, that's good for you, but don't drag me into your Christianity. But now they say, you're a Christian, I don't like that. Christianity is bad, or religion is bad. Look at the world. Look at all the wars, you know, people say. Look at all the wars that have been started in the name of religion. And I was reminded of this, and I moved into my the office up at Grace Theological College, and on the shelf, there's a whole lot of books in there. None of them belong to me. And on the shelf, there's a book that has the title, it's The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. And he is a guy who says religion is something that should be banished from schools and public places, parliament, anywhere. So people are really pushing back on that. That's a current, that's a force that we have to reckon with, that you have to understand, that you have to expect, that you will encounter in different places, and you will meet that with family members or workmates or friends. And then there's the whole Lady Gaga kind of phenomenon, or Kim Kardashian, you know, which is the whole sexual revolution. That we live in a culture that seems to be really obsessed with sexuality. And everybody seems to be defined by either your sexual orientation. Are you straight? Are you gay? Are you bi? Or are you whatever? Or asexual? Or your gender? Are you male or you're female? Or you into something or other, you know, in transition? Or I get really confused, to be honest, and I'm not joking. I just don't quite understand how it works. And it seems to be that people are defined by that, or what they have done, or who their partner is, or what their preferences are. And so, you know, this is like the most important thing, it seems, in today, that you can talk about. And if you say anything bad about somebody or like that, you know, you lose your job, or you get publicly humiliated. And that's all that people want to think about and talk about. And that's a culture that we're living in, folks. That's a reality. We kind of, as a culture, we're obsessed with sexuality. And that's a challenge for us. And we need to understand that, because we're going to get, you know, we're influenced by that and impacted by that. Your children are influenced and impacted by that as well. They're growing up in that sort of environment. And then just the final one I think I identified, which was is consumerism. Consumerism. Basically, consumerism is buying stuff, okay? Apparently now, you know, you're lucky if you get a letter, and the old posties are struggling as they go around putting those little white envelopes in people's letterboxes. But what else is booming? People who drive around in the vans, right? They drive around in the vans, and what are they doing? They're just delivering stuff, okay? Whether it's from Amazon or Book Depository or eBay or Trade Me or Warehouse or whatever it is. It's just we live in a culture that is just totally obsessed with buying stuff. And you know, we might see this in ourselves. You think about, okay, have you replaced your phone recently? Why did you replace your phone? Did you replace your phone because the old one broke? You know, it wouldn't work anymore, it just wore out, it was old. Or did you just get a new one? Or, you know, have you bought some new clothes lately? Did you buy new clothes just because, you know, you saw some nice clothes and you thought, oh, I'll grab those clothes? Or did you buy them because the ones that your mum had handed down to you, or your grandfather had passed on to you, they had too many holes in them and you couldn't darn them anymore? Now, I'm giving you extreme examples, I know, and I'm not saying you should all be walking around in threadbare clothes, but we kind of accept that, don't we? We accept it as normal. That we just like, oh yeah, I'll just go and buy some more stuff. I'll just buy a new one of these, or I'll get a new one of those, or I'll trade in my old one. And that's part of our culture. And we need to be aware of that, that we don't get totally sucked in and absorbed by it. Or food and things like that, obsession, and that it defines us, you know, what phone you carry, or what car you drive, or what house you live in, or what are your preferences, what food you eat, that this stuff doesn't define us. And we live in the midst of that. And this is the culture we are living in. And that is why the Apostle Paul says, understand the times, understand the present times. Be aware of the fishbowl, or the river that you are swimming in and living in. And the Apostle Paul actually has some quite shocking words to help us to navigate our way. If you look at, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, to cross-reference, where he addresses this whole conundrum and sort of a suggestion of lifting our heads above it all, he says, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 29. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. And those who mourn as if they did not. And those who are happy as if they were not. And those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. And those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. And what he's trying to do there is shock his readers away from this whole being absorbed by the culture and the world they live in. To be aware of it and not to be sucked in by it. Not to let these things define you. Not to let consumerism define you. Not to let... things like atheism to put you off or whatever it is, a sexual revolution to suck you in. So to be aware. The second thing, of course, though, as he says, is we need to be awake. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. And so what he's doing is he's painting a picture that being aware of the world you live in, you need to wake up, because there's no time to snooze. You know, when do you snooze? I was, yesterday afternoon, I was sitting down and Roddy popped in, and it was Roddy's birthday yesterday. I won't tell you that, I think he's turned 62 or something like that. But, I was chatting away, you know, and it was late afternoon, and I thought, man, I just want to lie down and sleep, because I just felt tired, and it was that time of the afternoon. You ever felt that? You know, you need to have a snooze. Maybe as you get a bit older, you might experience that, but you know, you need to have a little bit of a snooze, and you know, you have to fight it, don't you? Eh? And what he's saying is that we need to be aware of the world we're in, and not to just snooze our way through, not to just be all sleepy and unaware. He says the world is a dark, it's a deceptive place, it's like nighttime. And he says, if you're a Christian, you're not someone who dwells and lives in the night, you're a person of the daytime. And he says the night is passing away. This age is coming to an end, and the day, meaning the day of the Lord, when the Lord Jesus returns, that is something that is coming closer. That is something that is coming nearer. And he says there's a real danger that you and I, we snooze and we drift and we just go along with the flow, and we get sucked up and with the way things are happening and the way everybody else is living, whether it's our family or our friends or our neighbors or our workmates, and we think that's the normal and we think that's how we should live. And we're just snoozing our way through life, and we're not aware that we're drifting. It's one of those things, you know, when you take kids to the beach, if you've taken kids to the beach at all, you know, it's pretty nerve-wracking, isn't it? Because they tend not to be aware of things like drifting and currents, and you say, right, I'm going to stand here, you go and swim out there. And next minute, they're down there, and you're waving at them, or they're way out there, and you're trying to do hand signals, and they ignore you. And the worst thing, of course, is flotation devices, okay? Things that they can jump on top of, and they float, and their feet go off the ground, and they just drift, and the wind will just catch them, and off they go, you know. So we've got this thing where we tie a rope on stuff if there's an offshore breeze. It looks really paranoid. It's just like, I was standing there on the beach, this is modern parenting, isn't it? You know, like helicopter parenting. It's like, oh, my little babies, you know, I've got to hold them on a rope. But it's like, it means I can relax, you know. And it's that whole danger of drifting that we're concerned about, or being swept away. And it's the same for you as a Christian, being aware of the currents, but also being awake, you know, saying, I've got to keep my feet on the ground so I don't drift off. I've got to keep an eye on mum and dad on the beach so I don't go way down the beach with the longshore drift. That I know where I am, that I stay close enough to the shore to be safe. And we're moving through history. And he says, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. What does he mean by that? You know, if you're a Christian, you're saved, right? Does he mean that you're getting more and more saved each day? No, he's not meaning that, is he? He's not meaning that you have to work a way to get saved. What he's saying is that each breath you take and exhale as a Christian, that is taking you closer and closer to that time when you will enter fully into the presence of the Lord. Each teardrop that goes down your face is taking you closer to the time when there will be no more shedding of tears. Each pain that you feel in your body is taking you closer and closer to the time when there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. The time of your salvation is coming closer and closer. And soon all of that will be a distant memory. The time of your salvation is closer at hand. I just was thinking of a couple of verses here. I want to share these with you. Ezekiel chapter 18 and 30. Don't often look at the book of Ezekiel because it's a tricky book, I know. But in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30, therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses that you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Here the Lord is calling his people to repent. He's calling them to turn and come back to himself because he sees the danger that they are drifting into. The Apostle Peter echoed a similar thing in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. The end of all things is near, therefore be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. What's he doing? He's warning them, saying that we're getting nearer to the end. Each one of us is getting nearer to our ultimate salvation, and we need to wake up and not to sleep. And then the final thing is this. The third thing is we need to be aware, we need to be awake, and then he says we need to arm ourselves with the armor of light, which is putting on Christ. So Romans 13, night is nearly over, the day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You see, when I say to you, hey, we need to be aware, you need to understand the times, and you need to wake up, you need to be awake in the times, there is a tendency that we think, well, I better do more stuff. I better make more rules. You know, I better be stricter on my life. I need to make more regulations of things I can and cannot do and stuff that people I shouldn't talk to, or people I shouldn't hang around, or places I shouldn't go. And we start to, and we say, well, if I do these things, then I will be safe. But that's a human response, isn't it? That's legalistic. That's a man-centered response. The temptation to make up more rules to keep ourselves safe. Whereas the Apostle Paul's answer is to put on the armor of light and to clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of light. Of course, we think of Ephesians chapter 6 and following, where we're told to put on the whole armor of God. But also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul addresses that issue there. And in verses 7 and 8, he says, for those who sleep at night, this is what he's talking about here, and those who get drunk at night, but since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation for the hope of salvation as a helmet, faith and hope and love, to put on and to clothe ourselves with armor. And notice how he describes it as an armor of light. It shines in the darkness, that when we clothe ourselves, when we take up that attitude, when we live like this, we actually stand out and we shine. We're not in the dark. We don't blend in with how everybody else is living. But when you clothe yourselves with Christ, you actually, he describes it as an armor of light, because you're driving along and a light catches your eye. We noticed this, Nico and I noticed this when we were on holiday and we were walking along the beach and the sun was in front of us, and he says, "Dad, what are all those shiny bits in the sand?" And I made up some pseudo-scientific answer to explain it all, and we picked it up. But, you know, we notice that as you walk along, the sand is sort of this browny-goldy color, but then there's these glittery bits in it that shine out, and they catch your eye, and it's like, wow, what's in the sand? Those bits of sand are different from all of the other millions of grains of sand. There's one there, there's one there, there's one there. Catches your eye, it stands out, it's different. And so for you and I as Christians, we put on Christ. And when we do that, we're putting on the armor of light, which will make you and I stand out. You will stand out. You will be different. You're going to, as they say, march to the beat of a different drum. You're going to swim against the current, whether it's multiculturalism or whether it's sexual revolution or whether it's consumerism. You're not going to go along with all of that. You're not going to just buy into that. You're not just going to accept all that. You're going to go in a different way. And people will say, "Why are you doing that? You know, why are you living like that? Why aren't you just going to go and buy more stuff to make yourself happy?" And so he says, clothe yourselves, put on the armor of light. And then he explains it again, just in case you get the wrong idea. And he says, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ. It's Jesus, isn't it? Jesus is the one that we need to emulate. Jesus is the one that we need to accept and live by his rules and live by his commandments and follow his path and live his way. When we put on Jesus, you put on the armor of light and you stand out and you're armed and you're ready and you are not getting sucked into all of these things. This list that he gives here, it's a pretty decadent sort of sounding list, isn't it? Orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, jealousy. Wow. But that stuff happens, doesn't it? That stuff is out there, isn't it? We all know that. And you know what? A lot of the time it's glorified. A lot of the time it's like, you read about it in the newspapers and it's like, wow, look at this, they just did that. They just had this orgy. They just got drunk. They just had this debauchery. I don't really know what debauchery is, but they just did that. And it was like, man, you know, awesome. And people kind of celebrate and glorify it. And he says, but you won't. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to live in a way that gratifies the desires of the sinful nature. And so here's something for us as we start 2017. As we start out as Christians in 2017 and we want to finish 2017 not weaker, not drifting, not with more questions, but stronger and more certain in our faith, so that when we look around us and we see people going off to different religions and saying, come and follow our religion, we say, no, Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. That is why I worship and follow the Lord Jesus. And when the atheist says there is no God, we say, yes, we know that. We know you're going to say that because we've read about it in the Bible. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We know that you're going to say that. Or when people say, you know, it's all about who you're with and what your orientation is and what your gender is, you say, really? My identity is in Christ Jesus. My identity is in him. The Lord Jesus defines who I am, not just some little wee part of my anatomy or who I'm with or whatever. And consumerism, you say, I don't, all of this stuff, as the Apostle Paul says, all the stuff in my garage, all the stuff in my wardrobe, all this stuff in my house, and all the stuff wherever it is, it's all going to go. No, they're not going to stuff it into the coffin with me when they take me out to the cemetery. It's not going to be put on the roof of the hearse. It all just stays here. It all passes away. It has no lasting eternal value. But one thing has value, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm with him and he's with me. Be aware. Be awake and arm yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we know that it's so easy for us to get caught up with what everybody else is doing. And it's so normal, it's so natural to want what everybody else has. And we know this in our own hearts. We know that we want new stuff, or we want to have relationships like other people are having, or we all have doubts and questions about our faith and about other religions. But Lord, we thank you for the reminder that your word understands all this and has anticipated, has prepared us for this, and told us that these are going to be challenges in our lives as Christians. And therefore, we need to be aware of these things. We need to be aware of the influences of the world. We need to be awake and not asleep. And we need to put on Christ, to arm ourselves with him, so that we might be safe, secure in faith and hope and love. So I pray, Lord God, for each one of us here, that we, Lord, would be kept by your gracious power. And not only kept, but armed, we would be able to rescue others who are being swept along and sucked in by the world around us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.